Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
No, it's not marijuana on the shirt. It is not. First of all, when is the last time you saw bright red marijuana anywhere? Phil, I'm guessing even you have never seen bright red marijuana. This is a Tommy Bahama shirt. And because of the abuse I have taken from the people who work here, I've actually gone online to the Tommy Bahama site. And what this is, it is the bamboo groove pattern. It's bamboo. It is not to be confused with marijuana. I do not own, and this is not a sanctimonious statement whatsoever, I simply do not own a shirt with either a picture of Bob Marley or a marijuana leaf on the shirt whatsoever. This is bamboo. And I realized that Cheech and Chong had an album out called Big Bamboo back in the early 1970s, but this is no relation whatsoever to that. Come on, me wearing a weed shirt to work? That's just like saying, hey, test me now. Anyway, it is 3:08 at News Radio 930 WBEN, and it is Bowerly and Bellavia. Horrible story overnight about the lady and the dogs. And actually, one of our listeners was pretty much right there and wrote the following. Tom, 2 hours ago, this is an email that came in about 4:50 this morning. About 2 hours ago, I was on my way home from work. A Jeep Wrangler passed me as we both approached the bridge from Niagara Falls to Grand Island. 10 seconds later, the Jeep violently swerved to miss a dog on the road. The Jeep flipped, ejecting the driver. As it turns out, the car landed on the driver. The driver was killed instantly. I got out to see if I could assist, but the driver was expired. I wanted to let you know the picture is cropped. Thank you for that, as to not show certain things. I feel like I should have done something, but I guess it is what it is. And that's a situation where there is nothing you possibly could have done. The Jeep did what it did. The driver, unfortunately, was not wearing, according to reports, the seatbelt. And it is, you know, that is just, I don't know how many of you have been put in a situation like that, but it is such a tough thing to train yourself to do. Because over the years, I have done so many stories about people, in particular, but not always, young people driving along, sometimes in the country, sometimes in places like Amherst, and a deer just darts from the side of the road. And, you know, none of us really wants to hurt an animal, then we don't like that. But sometimes you just have to. And the only thing that you can possibly reasonably, rationally do is apply the brakes and just keep going straight. As distasteful as it is, not every accident can be avoided. Not every hitting of an animal can be avoided. And it's a terrible feeling. I unfortunately had to do it with a dog at one point early in my driving career. It was a very snowy night. It was late at night. I was coming home from work. There was no alcohol or anything else involved. I'm just driving along, and from literally nowhere, one dog runs across the road, and I say to myself, wow, that was close. And just as the word close is leaving my lip, the other dog chasing the first dog decided to run directly in front of the car, giving me no time whatsoever to react. There's certainly a horrible, horrible tragedy on Grand Island. And, you know, obviously it's made worse by the fact that, you know, we wonder if the life could have been saved if the seatbelt had been worn. Poor lady on her way home, apparently, early in the morning hours. And, you know, what can you say? It's a horrible, horrible thing to contemplate. Horrible, horrible thing to see. Glad the emailer sent me the bit of information sent to me. But the emailer might be well advised to contact the New York State Police to offer a statement as they continue their investigation into the fatal accident. Probably not a bad idea to get in touch with them just to add the eyewitness account to what happened on the highway last night. Also happening, I guess, in the news and all over the place, how many of you are dropping your kids off at college? Is this not move-in day at Buff State? Is this not move-in day at UB? And it is. It can be a time of tremendous stress for families. It can be a tremendous time of stress for mothers and fathers. And let us not forget, it can also be a tremendous time of stress for students involved. You know what? And I'm going to maybe make some enemies here. I never ever understood the importance, the value, or the benefit of so-called Greek life. I remember when I was starting out at UB, and I kept hearing about Greek life, and I had all these thoughts about Alcibiades and Socrates, and I guess that really wasn't the kind of Greek life that they were talking about, but I had some very vivid thoughts about what it could be, but it proved not to be that. So, anyway, long story short, I don't know how many of you belong to some kind of a fraternity, how many of you belong to some kind of a sorority. Honest to God, I always thought they were stupid. It seemed to me like they were stupid. Like, all they were was a bunch of partiers. All they were was a bunch of, hey, let's get drunk every Friday night. Let's get drunk every Saturday night. And that is, frankly, something for which, at that time, I had zero inclination and zero desire to do with my already dissipated youth. Because I don't know about you guys, I was pretty much working full-time when I went to college, and I didn't have time to go out and do a lot of partying on the weekends. Weekends was when I would catch up on homework, try to catch up on reading, and try to maintain some basic bare semblance of a social life. Anybody else out there think that the fraternities and sororities are just a colossal waste of time? Why would you want to be involved in something like that? And you know, something else that I think is a colossal waste of not just time, but money. You're going to school locally. You're going to one of the local colleges. Why in the world do you want to add to your student loan debt? Why in the world do you want to add to your expenses by rooming in a dorm at the college when you can just as easily commute? Why are you peeing away money like that? You've got to tell me the answer. Call me immature. But it was nice being able to wake up in the morning and being able to go off to school and being able to come home from school and have laundry done and have meals cooked and have everything basically done for me. So the only thing I had to worry about was going to school and then going to work, because, as I mentioned earlier, I pretty much worked full time as I put myself through school. But why in the world did anybody want to incur the kind of debt that you have to incur for a room at college when you don't have to? If you're living within a, should we call it a 20-mile radius, a 30-mile radius of where you happen to be going to school, I mean, is living at home that intolerable? Were the lessons that you learned while living in a dorm that valuable that you had to spend all that much money to learn them over a four-year period? Everything I needed to know about living on my own, mommy taught me in about 1 hour before I moved down to Florida. Yeah, this is how you do laundry. This is how you get stains out of laundry. This is Fell's naphtha soap. Fell's naphtha soap is probably your best friend. Other than that, you can call me and I'll give you the recipe for the beef noodle stew and you're all set. You're good to go. Have a nice drive down to Florida. That was about it. I didn't need 4 years of living in a dorm to figure out life and how to do laundry. And I'm just saying. Anybody want to tell me that Greek life, your fraternities, your sororities, come on, we're, most of us are grown-ups here, right? Most of us, chronologically, we are allegedly grown-ups here. In point of fact, that may be debatable. It might not be exactly the way we do things. But was there anything you gained by being a member of a fraternity, anything you gained by being a member of a sorority? It seems to me that by the time you're 30, 35 years old, does that even matter anymore? By the time you're 40, does it even matter? Did you really make lifelong friends that were part of your fraternity or sorority, people that you actually would want to crash on your couch for the next 5 years? I'm guessing probably no. And those of you who lived in a dorm despite having a domicile, a home, probably paid for by mommy and daddy, within about 20 miles of wherever it is you went to school. Was that also a waste of your precious money? And not to mention maybe a waste of your precious time. And why is it that every time, you know, we hear about hazing is being banned, hazing is not going to happen, that usually lasts about 1 year. And then a year later, we hear about some kid who's going to college who ends up going through hazing. Usually it's alcohol, but sometimes it's not alcohol. And they end up dead on a front lawn somewhere of some fraternity house. These things usually last for about a year. We're told that the Greek places have cleaned up their acts and that everything is all copacetic now. And, you know, you are dropping your kids off at school. And as a parent, obviously, you know, you've got some concerns. And one of the things that one of the experts said today on Buffalo's early news was, look, you you learned your kids. You know, you taught your kids how to act. You taught your kids how to behave. You taught your kids how to make responsible choices. And, you know, we can keep an eye on them as best we can. But the bottom line is a lot of this stuff started a long time before they got dropped off at UB or Buff State. 803-0930 is the phone number, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. I think living at school when you're 20 or 30 miles away from where you actually live is a waste of money. I think belonging to a fraternity is a waste of time. You're not there to party. You're there to learn. You're there for your little piece of paper. Of what use possibly did your fraternity, was your fraternity ever of you? Phil, were you part of a fraternity? You were not part of a fraternity. Okay. And again, I'm almost embarrassed to admit this, but the first couple of semesters at UB, every time they talked about Greek life, I thought they were talking about something totally different. Let's get to the calls on WBEN. Thank you, sir. May I have another? Here's John in Avon, New York. John, you're on WBEN. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, you have to belong to the right fraternity. Took me 3 years to get into it. I belong to Alpha Sigma Mu. And
which means nothing to me. You have to explain what that means, because it means nothing to me. It's a bunch of Greek letters.
Alpha Sigma Mu. That is Alpha, the first letter of the alphabet. But the only way you get into it is be in the Army and get honorably discharged, or the Air Force or the Marines. And it cost me $50 a month for a three-room apartment.
So this does not sound to me like a typical fraternity kind of a situation where it's all about the partying and the women and Rohypnol.
Well, we partied and we had women, that's for sure.
All right, so this is, I mean, I guess I'd better exclude the military stuff or I'm going to get myself in deep trouble, but I still think most fraternities are garbage.
Well, that's your opinion.
Who did you meet? What did you make lifelong friends as a result of your fraternal friendships?
My brothers, just talked to him last week. Absolutely. One Green Beret and the other one a Marine.
All right. Well, again, thanks. Thank you for the call. I mean, I was unaware that there are military fraternities. I suppose I better draw the line there at military fraternities, or else I'm just going to draw myself into a deep pool of crap that I can't get out of. So, okay, if it's a military fraternity, you are exempt from anything I say about fraternities. How's that? Here is Mark in West Seneca on WBEN. Mark, I still think fraternities are stupid, except the military ones, of course.
No, I totally disagree with you, because I have two girls that went to UB. We live local. There was just a short drive to go to UB, but they decided to dorm. And I thought like you at first until I looked into it further. And there's so many activities going on at school that you might not partake in if you're commuting back and forth. Sometimes it might mean a commute two or three times a day because you're not dorming. And where if you're at school all the time, you get to partake in all the activities that are going on.
Well, you know, that depends on what you're looking for out of school, because I used to hear that line of crap all the time when I was a student at UB. Oh, you're missing out on the full student experience. You're missing out on the full student life. I wasn't there for the student experience. I wasn't there for the student life. I was there to get a stupid piece of paper that said bachelor of whatever.
That's true, but when you're in a study group, if you're commuting and you're in a study group, now you don't have the advantage of that study group. Now, if you're...
Oh, don't even get me started on study groups. You know what study groups are? One person does the work, five other people glom on and claim credit for your work.
Study groups bring out the best in the students.
Oh, I think study groups are among the very worst things academia has to offer. Because all they are magnet to me. Now, if we're talking about the same kind of study groups, like group projects, that it never seemed fair to me that you got graded on a group project, because you could be doing 90% of the work and everybody else is doing nothing, and then you're the one who gets the credit or the blame.
I'm talking about a group of nurses that get to study together, and those are the same nurses that are going to be jumping on your chest when you're having a heart attack and you're in cardiac arrest. They're at the top of their game.
I have no idea whether they lived on campus or off campus. That wasn't one of my first questions.
Right, but the ones that do live on campus are the ones that come out on top normally, because they have a better experience.
Is there data to support that nurses who lived on campus are better nurses than ones who didn't? I mean, they can barely hire enough nurses as it is now. You could probably go to mail-order nursing school and get a job.
You probably could. But you should, when you graduate with a 2-year degree from nursing school, if you're lucky enough to get a job at a hospital, you do have to commit to getting your 4-year degree very shortly after you're hired.
So living on campus, you're gonna argue that it's worth. What did it cost? The extra money. How much are we talking about?
It was pricey. I'll admit it was pricey. It was about $5,000 a year additional per child, and I had two in at once.
Could have bought them a nice income property. They could be collecting the residuals by now. Just saying.
Now they make so much money, they could buy me the income property.
Well, it depends on how much money they're making.
That's true. That's true. But they're both doing very, very well.
But that's a hard life. That is being a nurse. I mean, I don't know. Are they LPNs? Are they RNs? What kind of nurses are they?
She's a critical care registered nurse,
which is pretty important.
Pretty important. That's right.
Just a quick question. Why not go on to PA school?
It's another 4 years.
But are you going to say...
They're anxious to get out in the industry, and a PA doesn't make a whole lot more money than a nurse, at least in the beginning years. After a few years, they start making better money. But PAs, they're about equal with the top pay on a nurse for maybe the first 5 years.
So basically the only argument you can put forward in favor of living on campus is the advantage of being part of a study group. Is that correct?
That is not correct. No, it's being part of the whole experience and all the activities that are going on in that school that you might not partake in if you're commuting back and forth.
Right, but again, I didn't care about the activities. I couldn't have cared less about student activities at UB. They brought in speakers that I didn't agree with. They made me pay for speakers I didn't agree with. And there was nothing that was happening at UB that I feel I deprived myself out of by virtue of the fact that I saved myself like probably a good $20,000 or $30,000 by not living on campus.
Well, that was you. How about all the other kids that are dorming that feel the way I feel?
If they want to be brainwashed into that idea of the university experience, that's their business. To me, it was always a bit of brainwashing. Like, there was nothing happening at school that I felt like I was missing out on. I was always too busy working.
In the very beginning, when my kids were going to be starting college, I was thinking exactly like you were thinking. And my eyes got opened up to a lot of things over at UB. And I thought, okay, this is going to probably work out quite well. It's pricey, but it's going to probably work out quite well, and it did.
All right. Well, look, thanks for the call. I appreciate hearing from you. Is living on campus a must? I think it is a colossal waste of money. Whether you are a nurse, whether you are a history major, no matter what you're doing, if you've got a home within 20 miles of school, why would you want to waste the kind of money that you have to? Like, what are you guys spending now on your room and board at college? What is it, like $15,000 a year? Depends on where you're going. But that's a hell of a lot of money. You put that over 4 years, and if my math is correct, you're looking at $60,000 that you might as well be peeing down the toilet. And as far as the university experience, to me, is there anybody who feels that they missed out on the university experience because they lived at home? And again, not to belabor the point, but my university experience was, why am I here? I am here to get a piece of paper that says I graduated from college. That was the only reason I went to college. I wasn't there for an experience. I wasn't there to hear Timothy Leary talk about LSD. I wasn't there to hear about Hunter Thompson's experiences, okay? I was there to get a stupid piece of paper that cost a lot of money for my employer because they paid for me to go to school. The fools. All right, Bowerly and Bellavia. David's going to be with us in studio next Monday and Tuesday. So we'll see what happens after that. I have no idea what is going to happen after that. If David wants to continue with the show as Bowerly and Bellavia, that's great. If David wants to move on to other pastures, that's great. It's basically whatever makes David happy. I did this show alone and solo for a long, long time. And I think I can still do it by myself, but I would honestly prefer to do it with David. And I think it's a better show with David. So, you know, it's like for my own personal reasons, I would much rather have David with me full time. But it's really just gets down to what David wants to do, because it's very, very rare that you find a chemistry with somebody that you don't have to force. And it makes both of you sound the better when you are on together, if you understand what I'm saying. David can do a great job by himself. I can do a great job by myself. But you put us together, and there's a special kind of magic that kind of materializes when we are together. By the way, I started off the show real quickly, and I'm going to get right to your telephone calls, with an email from one of my listeners who was actually an eyewitness to the fatal accident involving the dog, you know, the Grand Island Niagara Falls situation overnight. And I suggested that he should get in touch with the New York State Police because they were still investigating the accident as a fatal accident. They want as much information as they possibly can get. And I just want to pass on, my listener stayed on the scene and did convey his eyewitness statement to the New York State Police accident investigation people and the troopers who were on the scene. So what I read at the beginning of the show, the state police have been made aware of. They have the information. They have the contact information for my listener. And I'm grateful that my listener cared enough to try to help. But honestly, I would expect nothing less from any of you listening to the show, whether you agree with me or disagree with me. And the mere fact that you are listening says, in some way, shape, or form, you care about the community as a whole, which I think we can all appreciate. Now, I do have strong opinions, which you may or may not share. Number one, Greek life on campus. I did not belong to any fraternity whatsoever when I went to school. I did graduate as a member of Phi Beta Kappa. That is a national, like, honor society for colleges, for people pursuing certain degrees and courses of study. It wasn't a fraternity. It was an honorary thing. You know, basically an honorary accolade. I also graduated as an academic All-American, believe it or not. The fundamental reason, however, I went to school was to get a little piece of paper that said bachelor of whatever and ended up graduating magna cum laude. I never felt like I missed out on anything in terms of campus life. Now, and I'll tell you the downside before I get right back to the calls. The downside of my university experience is I didn't have many friends except for the professors that I had. Now, the professors that I had at UB, and I'm talking about people like the late Bill Allen, the late Milton Plesser, Bruce Jackson, these people became my mentors. These people became my friends when I went to school. Dr. Charles Cazot was a friend when I went to school. I didn't have time, by virtue of working full-time, to have a lot of friends in my own cohort group. But I don't think I really missed out on anything. And one of the things that I remember, I'll tell you, well, let me get back to the calls, because I've got a long time to talk and you guys are on hold and I don't want to take your time any more than I have to. Is living on campus stupid if you're living close to home? And are fraternities and Greek life, are they stupid or are they worthwhile? Anything but military-oriented ones, I think, are stupid. I'm not going anywhere near criticizing the military-related ones. Respect my decision. Respect my authority. Let's go to David in Lockport. David, welcome. You're on WBEN.
Hey, Tom. Well, The living off campus was obvious to me because I didn't go right after high school. You know, it was like, it was years later. So I had my own apartment anyway. But if I did, in the late 80s at RPI, it was, I think it was $10,000 a year, and it would have been $15,000 if I lived there. But I'll tell you why they want to be in these frats and the sororities. I didn't know all this stuff because I'm coming in late. I wasn't in any cliques from high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I transferred in as a junior after going to some Hudson Valley community college classes. So it wasn't until...
May, would you mind if I interrupted right now before you go any further to put in a word for community colleges like the one you went to and the one both of my kids went to? Both of my kids went to ECC. It saved them a boatload of money. And frankly, I think it gave them the intellectual... not integrity, but the preparedness, if you will, and the study habits they needed that carried them through their bachelor's degree, their master's degree, their law degrees, etc.
Well, the way it was, RPI told Hudson Valley, we will take an associate's degree and give the student, you know, credit coming in as a junior, and they were told what curriculum they had to make us take. So, yeah, you do the first 2 years, and somebody like me, I had no choice. RPI wasn't going to take me after working at the railroad for 8 years, you know? It's sort of like your record goes away from high school if you've been out for a while.
You know, that's – and really, you know, there are some colleges, unless things have changed, and that's always a possibility, some colleges and universities are a lot more lenient and open-minded about real-world experience. Like one of our first callers, take the case of a critical care nurse. I've got to believe that 5 years – of critical care nursing experience should equal about 20 years of book learning.
Well, I went for mechanical engineering, so, I mean, I love to fix things, but they weren't going to give me credit toward an engineering degree because I knew how to fix a motorcycle or a car. But I'll tell you why all the kids want to get in these sororities and fraternities, okay?
Okay.
It wasn't until my final semester we were studying, me and a couple friends I did have there, and this kid came in that did not study with us, and he said, do you mind? Can I sit here and study with you guys? And we said, sure, okay. So he sat down, and he takes his papers out. He's got a sample of the test that was coming up for mechanics. And we looked at him. He said, where the hell did you get that? Well, the frat he belongs to facilitate the partying and the hoeing that they all want to do, they got files on the professors. They've got all the old quizzes. And they tell them what professors you better sign up for because we got the best library on them. And the lazy professors, if they bother changing the test or the quiz, they change a couple numbers. But you already know the problem. It's just the numbers have been changed.
That is an argument I have never heard before about Greek life. So you have taught me something today, and I don't know if I'm grateful or if I'm not.
Well, we knew it was a tough school, but we were busting our ass to get an A or a B if we did. We didn't know that we're running uphill against all these people that had an advantage on us.
Wow. The New York State Department of Education Division of Licensing is responsible for the licensing of various professionals in New York State. Even, like, for example, licensed massage therapists. Their licenses are basically administered by the Department of Education Division of Professional Licensing folks, okay? Same thing, I believe, with dentists and doctors and everything else. And there are only so many questions you can ask about a given profession or a given specialty, and I would imagine there are places that have libraries of those questions as well.
Yeah, well, I honestly still remember that quiz that we did get after the sample that kid had, because I said it out loud. I didn't mean to. I when I was handed the paper, I looked at it and I go, it's the same one with different numbers.
Wow.
I ain't making it up, and it really ticks you off. If you work like hell to get an A or a B, and then you find out everybody else had sample tests and quizzes, you would have no way of knowing if you weren't in on one of these. So they can do it. They can, you know, do a decent job of getting a passing grade, but they didn't study anything else other than what was on that sample that they had. Anyway, I wanted to tell you.
I am grateful for the call, sir, and thank you very much for it, and continued success to you.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, there is an interesting argument. So if you're just joining us, you know, this is an emotional time of year for a lot of people, a lot of parents, a lot of professors, and a lot of students. And to recap what I said at the beginning, I am not a fan of fraternities. I didn't belong to one. I was never recruited for one. Had I been recruited for one, I would have declined because I was just always too busy working full-time and going to school full-time and living on campus as opposed to living at home. We've heard arguments mostly in favor of living on campus, but you might have a different point of view. Deb, what do you think? Do I get a thumbs up on that one? Do I get a thumbs up? Oh, well, I will. It's all good. I'm just talking to one of our account executives here at News Radio 930 WBEN. I get along very well with our account executives at News Radio 930 WBEN. I have a tremendous amount of respect for the work they do and how well and how hard they have to work compared to what I have to do. Debbie, I've got 1 minute, and then I will be right with you as you've got a great big smile on your face. It is Bowerly for because you're listening to my show live in studio, which is something that not many of the account executives get to do here, despite my fine relationship with them. Hey, patience is going to be a virtue. You know, it doesn't come any easier to me than it probably does to you, so hang in there. Hey, at least if you're going to Art Park tonight, you got the Pink Floyd experience that you can look forward to. The WBEN7 First Alert Forecast. First of all, stay tuned to WBEN as the WBEN Roy's Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling Storm Center is always on alert when the weather takes a turn. Tomorrow, it will be cool. Sunshine, the high of 70. Looking ahead to the weekend, Saturday, it will be cool and sunny and a high temperature of 73 degrees. And then Sunday, fun day, it'll be sunny and a 77 degree high. And hopefully you've got your fun already arranged. It's 71 degrees at News Radio 930 WBEN. Had a chance last night to spend some time at Banchetti's in Amherst, watching my boys in Flipside play some songs, getting up on stage, having a chance to play some songs with Flipside, and having a chance to hang out with Mrs. Nerd. Called it an early night because I tell you, all this socializing can definitely take a toll on your sleep if you don't watch it. It is, and she's not the biggest partier, and I'm not the biggest partier anymore myself. 352 at News Radio 930 WBEN doesn't mean you can't have fun. Let's get back to the calls. Frats and living on campus. Who would be next? It would be Dick in Albion on WBEN. Dick, you had good experiences in fraternities.
I did indeed.
Well, tell us all about your college experience, sir.
Yeah, I would suggest that each campus location for each fraternity, and they evolve, they change over time. For instance, I had a four-year full tuition scholarship to Allegheny College down in Meadville, too far to commute, but I was able to live on campus, and I was able, through my fraternity, which was kind of special, I thought, for the time. It was founded by a Episcopal priest and his two sons. In our particular chapter at Allegheny, we had Muslims, we had Jews, we had Protestants, we had Catholics. Because I was in the fraternity, I was able to get half board because I worked in the kitchen. And that experience told me that they do serve a purpose. And the fraternity later got kicked off campus for some bad behavior, but when I was there, it was definitely a very good experience.
Okay, well, one of the things that they pitch a lot about fraternities and Greek life is you meet these people who are going to be your colleagues and comrades and best friends for the rest of your life. Did you find that? Have you found that to be your experience, sir?
Several of them were, yeah.
Okay. Several of them were, I mean, and these are people that you would not ordinarily have come into contact with except for the experiences of the frat.
That's exactly right.
So overall, and how about the money? What did it cost you?
Fraternity, well, like I said, it cut my room and board cost in half because I worked in the kitchen.
Okay, so you were able to save money by virtue of that. If you were going to do it all over again, and you know my thoughts on fraternities, but I do not have the final word in anything on which I am not an expert, but your final word on fraternities, if you were advising a young person, is to join a fraternity, but the important question would be why?
Well, I don't think it's the why. It's the big thing. I think the bigger issue is you got to know what that fraternity stands for. What's its history? What's its performance on campus? For instance, we had community projects. We had campus activities that were supportive of other campus organizations. So it was a diverse group because of the founding. The founders of the fraternity made sure that it was kind of a diverse group.
Well, I mean, what I like is the fact that, as you said at the beginning of the phone call, that it was sponsored or set up by an Episcopal priest, yet you were not exclusionary of Jews or Muslims or anybody else, irrespective of faith. So it does sound like an organically diverse group of people working toward a common goal.
Right.
And not exclusionary.
Exactly.
All right. And as far as given the cost of living on campus in 2019, have you any thoughts on whether it is a waste of money or a vital part of the university experience?
In this day and age, I'm 79 years old, so 1958 and 62 were my college years. I really don't know what it's like now, but I don't think it would have been worth the trip. For my case, it would have been 45 miles. To commute, and I think I'd have probably stayed at the dormitory or whatever.
Yeah, that's on the outer fringe, 45, 50 miles, especially, you know, in those days of buggies and horses. I'm busting on you because I'm that far behind you. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call.
Okay, thanks for taking it.
Absolutely.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.